VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And friends, welcome to Crosstalk, a news roundup Friday here today on the VCY American Network. And friends, looks like we have more stories than minutes on the broadcast, so we're going to be getting right into matters today. Troubling times in which we live. There is so much unfolding this very week. We'll seek to bring you lots of news and information. We're going to begin with Israel National News. And the IDF did carry out an aerial attack within Iran in response to the barrage of missiles and UAVs launched toward Israel by Iran last Saturday night. The attack intended to signal to Iran that Israel is capable of attacking within Iranian territory. Iran's news agency quoted Iranian Army Chief Major General Mousavi as saying that the explosion heard in Isfahan was heard was due to air defense systems shooting down a suspicious object. No damage, they said, was caused. Experts are investigating. An official in the Biden administration said to Reuters that the U.S. did not take part in the Israeli attack and that Jerusalem updated Washington on the attack beforehand. The question is Iran going to respond back again? Or are they going to let things stand at this point as they are? Coming from the Daily Wire, Senator Cruz slammed President Joe Biden this week for Iran's unprecedented attack on Israel over the weekend, saying that the Biden administration paid for the missiles and drones that Iran used. Cruz said the administration allowed the sanctions on missiles in Iran to expire. Biden had allowed over $100 billion to flow to Iran. This is how the Ayatollah was able to afford drones and missiles to attack Israel. The Epoch Times is reporting President Biden's administration announced a new round of sanctions April 18th intended to punish key figures in Iran's drone programs after those weapon systems were used to strike Israel on April 13th. Isn't that something? You give lots of money to them. You lift lots of sanctions. You bring back that Iran nuclear deal. And as a result, then war is launched on Israel, the attack on Israel. And now you're trying to scale back. President Biden's statement, the Treasury announced sanctions against 16 Iranian individuals and two entities involved in Iran's drone programs. The Daily Wire is reporting yesterday a band of more than a dozen House lawmakers voted against a resolution condemning Iran for its drone and missiles attack on Israel over the weekend. The measure passed with overwhelming support, 404-14. 13 lawmakers did not vote. Among those who opposed the resolution were 13 Democrats, including members of the leftist squad, and one Republican. That was Thomas Massie of Kentucky. From Just the News, the U.S. blocked Palestine's latest effort to become a full member of the U.N. on Thursday, using its veto power during a meeting of the United Nations Security Council. Palestine has applied to become a full member of the U.N. on two separate occasions, with the first failing attempt in 2011. Palestine is currently a non-member observer state. This Thursday, yesterday's votes saw 12 of the 15 countries in the panel support the application. The U.K. and Switzerland abstained. A resolution needs 9 votes to pass, absent any vetoes, of which the United States issued a veto vote. From the Free Beacon, days after the Biden administration gave its blessing to a newly formed Palestinian Authority government in the West Bank, well, guess what, folks? The PA handed out dozens of bonus payments for security forces involved in the attacks on Israelis. According to the PA's official news outlet, the Palestinian General Intelligence Service on April 4th provided a grant to 36 families of agency officials who died or were imprisoned as a result of their involvement in anti-Israel security crimes. The reports did not identify the recipients of the grant or its amount. Why are we giving money to the Palestinian Authority? Friends, they are paying for, well, what they call pay for slay. The College Fix is reporting about 100 protesters taking part in pro-Palestinian occupation camp on a Columbia University lawn were cuffed and hauled away by police in riot gear yesterday. That was reported by the New York Post. The Columbia president authorized a police action, saying in a memo to the NYPD that the demonstrators interfered with the operation of the university, refused to identify themselves, refused to dispense, set up tents on campus space, failed to comply with policies, and damaged campus property. The university provided multiple notices and warnings and informed the encampment participants that they must disperse or face immediate discipline. Well, among the students was Isra Hirsi, a daughter of Minnesota Democrat Representative Ilhan Omar. Hirsi has also been suspended by the school, she said in a post on X. But hundreds of Jew haters marched on the campus of Columbia University. They were armed, folks, it's amazing to see, they were armed with torches. It looked like a lynch mob, armed with torches in a scene that was, they say, reminiscent of Charlottesville, Virginia. The mob shouted intifada and threatened Jewish students. We've got a couple audio clips here that came from through Todd Starnes, and I want you to hear what some of this was as they are chanting, "There is only one solution, intifada revolution." And they go on and on with that. There is only one solution, intifada revolution. And not only that, but yes, you're also going to hear a warning that was coming out from participants. Here is one, never forget October 7th. This will happen not one more time, not five more times, not 10, 100, 1,000, 10,000. The 7th of October is going to be every day for you. Here's a portion of that.
Remember the 7th of October.
Never forget the 7th of October.
That will happen.
Never forget the 7th of October.
Not one more time. Not five more times. Not 10 more times. Not 100 more times. Not 1,000 more times.
Not 1,000. It went on to 10,000, and there was other language too explicit for us to air on this program or even for ears to hear. But it's a night of terrors for Jews on Columbia University. It was just appalling to see what is taking place. Yes, on American soil, the hatred for this nation, the hatred for what this nation has stood for, our United States Constitution, the rule of law. Friends, we better take note of what's happening in these uprisings. Israel National News reporting dozens of Google employees at the company's headquarters in California and New York held protests against the company's management after they signed a $1.1 billion deal with the Israeli government. Some protesters barricaded themselves in the headquarters of Google Cloud CEO for about 10 hours and demanded that Google and Amazon end the agreement with Israel. Due to the protests, Google decided to fire 28 of the protesters, some of whom were also arrested by local police. Google announced that the company signed a contract under which will provide services to the ministries of Treasury, Health, Transportation, Education, but not participating in projects related to the military. From Front Page Mag, CARE, Council on American Islamic Relations, is asking prosecutors to lock up journalists that expose the Hamas supporters. Weeks after the, frontpagemag.com, weeks after the Hamas murders, rapes, and kidnappings of October 7th, the Council on American Islamic Relations began meeting with attorney generals around the country. The Islamic organization, whose roots are linked to the Muslim Brotherhood, the parent organization of Hamas, were persuading top state prosecutors to go after Jewish anti-terror activists. CARE San Francisco Bay staff and Islamic allies met with the California Attorney General, urging him to enforce laws against what the group claimed was doxing. Shortly thereafter, CARE's Massachusetts chapter met with their Attorney General and urged him to create an anti-doxing task force to target pro-Israel and Jewish groups. CARE was worried about anyone exposing its support for terrorism. Next month, CARE founder and executive director Nihad Awad, who had previously expressed support for Hamas, appeared at the American Muslims for Palestine convention and cheered the October 7th attacks, claiming that the Gazans will be victorious because they did not fear death. If they would like to die, they will go to another heaven. Jihad Watch reporting about the New York City Council began its meeting last Friday by praising Allah as the supreme Lord of the world, expressing their reverence in both Arabic and English. Friends, do you recall the words of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the mastermind of 9/11, who said, quote, "We will win because Americans don't realize we do not need to defeat you militarily. We only need to fight long enough for you to defeat yourself by quitting." Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. These are the very things that Usama Dakdak has warned of, that Shahram Haidian has warned of, that other speakers have warned of as well. From Axios.com, the FBI is on alert for potential threats against Jews ahead of the start of Passover next week. Director Christopher Wray told Jewish community security officials Wednesday the Bureau is particularly concerned that lone actors could target gatherings and events or religious locations over the holiday. The Jewish Federation of Greater Washington and the Jewish Federation of Greater Philadelphia said in statements that they have been working closely with local law enforcement to proactively address potential threats. Let's look at jihadwatch.org. ISIS has been threatening attacks on sports venues all over Europe. One of them is directed at the stadium that was used by the soccer club Paris Saint-Germain, a site that ISIS hit before in 2015. ISIS has called on its followers in Europe to attack host venues for soccer matches with bombs and drones, apparently causing the most alarm in Spain and the UK. Most threatened by ISIS right now are France, Spain, and the UK, each of which is hosting a quarterfinal soccer match in the Champions League. It's worth noting that the president of France has just issued a joint call with King Abdullah of Jordan and President El-Sisi of Egypt for an immediate and permanent ceasefire in Gaza as a way to further pressure Israel. We're going to hit a number other issues here, friends, but there's so much going on with this aspect of terrorism. The Islamic push here across this nation and around the world. It is going after the little Satan, which is viewed as being Israel, and the big Satan, the United States of America, they claim. NationalReview.com tells us that the Democratic-controlled Senate dismissed both articles of impeachment against the Department of Homeland Security, Alejandro Mayorkas, on Wednesday, squashing the Republican push to remove the cabinet secretary from office. Unbelievable, folks. They had delivered the articles of impeachment. And the Senate's responsibility, their responsibility then is to hold a trial, to examine the evidence, and then cast their vote. But the Senate voted 51-49 along partisan lines to kill the impeachment, the second impeachment charge, and 51-48-1 for the first impeachment charge. The upper chamber also voted 51-49 to end the short-lived trial, which began earlier on Wednesday. The House delivered both articles of impeachment to the Senate on Tuesday, 2 months after congressmen voted to impeach Mayorkas for his failure to secure the border in the past 3 years. Mayorkas was the first cabinet secretary to be impeached in nearly 150 years. So what were the articles of impeachment? We're going to take a break. We'll tell you more about it after 1 minute here on Crosstalk, a news roundup day on the VCY American Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, does the fossil record prove evolution?
Not at all, Chris. In fact, it couldn't prove evolution because evolution didn't happen. I don't even think it supports evolution very well. What we see in the fossil record are the same kinds of plants and animals which are alive today. They can be put into various categories, such as clams or snails or brachiopods. Some animals, like the dinosaurs, have gone extinct, but none of the fossils seem to point to one type of animal evolving or changing into another type. That's because evolution simply didn't happen. What did happen is creation. Creation of the basic types of plants and animals that God created. They exist into the present day or else have gone extinct, but nothing else has arisen since then. And that's the way it is back in Genesis.
Thanks, Dr. Morris. For more on creation, visit our website at www.icr.org.
a news roundup day here on Crosstalk on the VCY American Network. We so appreciate our team, Sandy, for preparing so many stories, getting these ready for us, and our team working behind the scenes to provide you Crosstalk. And friends, I hope you understand we are living in troublesome times. The issues that are going on, this world is just percolating for violence and trouble. I mean, it's unfolding on so many different realms. We see that taking place. We talk about the gotaways at the border and those that are crossing here illegally. People that are committing horrendous crimes and then being let right back out on the street. It's as if there is an intentional undoing of our constitutional republic. What do you think about that? And we're seeing this happen. It's unfolding. The world's sitting on a powder keg right now. The Middle East, what's going on with the attacks that launched against Israel? October 7th was not the first. It's been going on for years and years and years. And now we see so much unfolding, the hatred, the animosity building against Israel. Yes, even from within our own nation. On university campuses and major blue-run cities here across this nation, it is unfolding. A border crisis is going on. And so impeachment charges were brought against the Secretary of Homeland Security, Alejandro Mayorkas. The first article of impeachment, and we're looking at the NationalReview.com, accused Mayorkas of failing to enforce immigration and border security laws. And the second alleged he lied to Congress about the border being secure under his watch as the DHS secretary. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer called both impeachment charges unconstitutional because he thought they did not rise to the level of high crimes and misdemeanors required for the impeachment process. I'd like to get your reaction, listeners, to that issue. See if you've got a different take. But we also had a statement that came from the Senate Minority Leader, Mitch McConnell.
The Senate will be in order. Would senators please take their conversations to the cloak?
Madam President, we've set a very unfortunate precedent here. This means that the Senate can ignore, in effect, the House's impeachment. It doesn't make any difference whether our friends on the other side thought he should have been impeached or not. He was. And by doing what we just did, we have in effect ignored the directions of the House, which were to have a trial. We had no evidence, no procedure. This is a day that's not a proud day in the history of the Senate.
If you want to sign,
Senator Mitch McConnell giving that speech yesterday after these charges were just dropped and without even allowing evidence to be voted upon. Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin had this massive chart that outlined the illegal encounters at the borders through the years and labeled them as to what was transpiring in our history during that time. And when you see the presidency turn over to the Biden administration, it is just shocking, shocking to see the open border policy and its impact upon this nation. The Washington Times reports that Homeland Security released the illegal immigrant that was accused of killing Laken Riley in the U.S. because it lacked the detention space, according to his confidential immigration file. Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri read key parts of the file into the record at a Senate hearing yesterday. Jose Ibarra, the man charged with the February 22nd slaying, was released under Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas's power of parole that's supposed to be used in limited cases and only when there is an urgent humanitarian need or a significant benefit to the public. Mr. Hawley said the lack of detention space doesn't meet either of those standards, and so Mr. Mayorkas broke the law in releasing the suspected killer. Coming from the Daily Signal, the Vote for President Biden flyers found at the Center for Migrants in Mexico constitute foreign meddling in U.S. elections, congressional Republicans say. The lawmakers decried flyers posted at the Migrant Services Center near Brownsville, Texas. saying Joe Biden has sacrificed our nation's safety and security in his pursuit to get as many people here as possible. Why? Because he believes these are future Democrat voters, said Senator Roger Marshall. This is an election interference orchestrated at the highest levels. We have to get our hands around this. Americans have to have complete confidence in their elections, Marshall said. Any NGO receiving federal funds and pushing illegal get-out-the-vote efforts for Joe Biden should be stripped of their funding immediately. And some of you are saying, well, I thought illegals could not vote. Well, there was a hearing. After the revelation of these flyers surfaced, there was a at this Mexican shelter reminding unlawful border crossers to vote for President Biden. Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas couldn't tell Congress on Tuesday how his department could safeguard U.S. elections from illegal voting by foreigners. He was grilled by Congressman Bishop. Let's listen in to some of that exchange.
Here, news reports, the Heritage Foundation Oversight Project has released this document that is allegedly a flyer distributed at a non-governmental organization in Mexico called the Resource Center Matamoros, which was just said to read in part, if translated, reminder to vote for President Biden when you are in the United States. We need another 4 years of his term to stay open. I note, by the way, I understand this RCM has denied that this is authentic, but it, of course, there are competing reports about it. But let me ask you this. What actions is the Department of Homeland Security taking to ensure that, especially given the millions of illegal entries, including 2 million gotaways, that non-citizens are being prevented from registering and voting unlawfully?
Congressman, individuals who are not citizens of the United States cannot vote in federal elections.
But that's not what I asked. I asked what actions DHS is taking to ensure that that doesn't occur.
Well, two things. Number one, I believe that it is state and local election officials that monitor the eligibility of individuals. We do not oversee election enrollment process. What we do is enforce our borders and, in fact...
So it says shorter, nothing.
In fact...
How can Congress and the American people have confidence that the outcome of close elections will not turn on the votes of non-citizens who have registered and voted unlawfully?
Congressman, election security is one of our priorities. In the distribution of federal grant funds to state and local jurisdictions, we have made election security a priority, and
okay.
We have mandated...
I'll reclaim my time.
You know, it's interesting. Election security, we've made that our priority. That's the same kind of words we hear about border enforcement and border control. That's our policy, too. Look what's happened to our nation, friends. Look exactly what's happened. The Center Square is reporting that the Oklahoma House of Representatives passed legislation yesterday that would make illegal immigration a state crime after a heated debate where one Democrat called the bill extremist legislation. Friends, you're here in the country illegally. The state of Oklahoma saying we're affirming that, we're making it a state crime, and the legislator saying it's extremist legislation. House Bill 4156 makes impermissible occupation a criminal act defined as a person willfully and without permission entering and remaining in Oklahoma without first obtaining legal authorization to enter the United States. It passed its third reading, 77-20, now moves to the Senate for consideration. If signed into law, those living in Oklahoma as illegal immigrants would be guilty of a misdemeanor punishable by up to a year in county jail and a fine of up to $500 or both, and anyone found guilty would be required to leave the state within 72 hours following conviction or release from custody, whichever comes later, according to the legislation. Washington Times is reporting DHS is monitoring, get a hold of this, 617,000 illegal immigrants with criminal records. 617,000 with criminal records. But we're monitoring them. We're monitoring them. Why are they here? Why are we allowing criminal, illegal aliens to remain in the United States? For that matter, why do we allow those who are here illegally to remain in the United States. We have a lawful system of immigration that needs to be followed. The Daily Caller tells us Florida Republican Matt Gaetz filed an amendment to the Ukraine aid bill yesterday that would make money allocated for Ukraine in the form of a loan be repaid and used by the DHS secretary for the construction of a physical barrier at the U.S. southern border. Speaker of the House Mike Johnson announced the House will vote tomorrow on three separate bills, including $26.4 billion to Israel, $8.1 billion to Taiwan, and $61 billion of aid to Ukraine. Looking at Breitbart.com, as tax day passes, the cost of illegal immigration to American taxpayers has hit an unprecedented level on President Joe Biden's watch. The latest estimates published by the Federation for American Immigration Reform last March show that millions of illegal aliens residing across the U.S. cost taxpayers more than $150 billion annually. The burden of illegal immigration on U.S. taxpayers is staggering and crippling, with the gross cost per taxpayer at $1,156 every year. From FoxNews.com, infuriated black Chicagoans showed up in force at a city council meeting on Wednesday to protest Mayor Brendan Johnson's request for an additional $70 million in taxpayer funds to be spent on tackling the city's migrant crisis, while a petition that would give residents the right to recall the mayor is gathering serious traction. The mayor, who has defended the city's sanctuary policies in the past, wants aldermen to greenlight the extra cash in a vote on Friday, despite the Windy City having already poured $300 million into the housing, food, and health care for the recently arrived migrants. That's according to the city's latest numbers. From Breitbart, roughly 1,300 African migrants gathered outside the New York City Hall on Tuesday over what some believed were promises of a green card or work visa if they appeared. Only 250 people were allowed inside for the 10 a.m. hearing, while the hundreds of others who flocked out downtown were left outside in the park, where footage showed them chanting and cheering. The migrants were mostly from countries in West Africa and Guinea. From Hot Air, nearly 1.2 million foreign nationals are safe from deportation thanks to President Biden's expansion of temporary protected status, that's TPS, eligibility. This is a move that Mr. Biden has taken since he came into office. He's added several countries to the TPS list. For example, almost 500,000 Venezuelans received expanded amnesty protection in 2021. Mayorkas announced last week that an extension and redesignation of 15,000 Ethiopia for temporary protected status was granted. Well, friends, we are going to be, I've got a couple more audio clips I want you to hear and some information that we're going to be telling you about the trial that's underway right now. Jury selection has been complete for the prosecuting of former President Donald Trump. We'll have some information on this and also some shocking numbers coming out from Planned Parenthood as they set a record number of unborn babies, preborn babies that they have killed. We'll be back in 1 minute. This is Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
In the early 20th century, Germany didn't look like a country on the brink of world-shaking terrors. It looked like America today. In Dr. Erwin Lutzer's book, When a Nation Forgets God, he uses history to warn us of a future that none of us wants to see. When a Nation Forgets God is a 145-page book that's 50% off this month at the VCY Bookstore and Outreach Center. In this book, Dr. Lutzer studies seven similarities between Nazi Germany and America today, some of them chilling, and cautions us to respond accordingly. The book explains the mess of our nation's government, economy, legal pitfalls, and propaganda, but urges us to speak up, take action, and trust in God. When a Nation Forgets God by Dr. Erwin Lutzer is 50% off through April 30th at the VCY Bookstore and Outreach Center. You can order by calling 888-722-4829 or by shopping online at vcy.com.
Sadly, friends, we see a country that's unraveling all around us, and we see men's hearts are growing in their ways of evil. The intensity is just off the charts like we've not seen in our lifetime. And we know that the only answer for this, the only answer, is not who resides in the White House or which party controls the legislatures or the Congress. The only answer is Jesus. And friends, it's our desire to encourage you to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and then to make him known to others as well. We know what's going to happen, that this world is one day going to perish by means of fire, fervent heat, but the souls of men will last forever. When's the last time you have told somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ? Friends, he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. Our encouragement is to be ambassadors of this good news, the ambassadors of the gospel in a world that is troubled and falling apart very quickly at the seams. Other issues are going on in the news, which we continue on here. This from the Washington Examiner. The Supreme Court Justice Neil Gorsuch Tuesday questioned the Biden administration's ranking Justice Department lawyer about the scope of a federal criminal law used against protesters during the January 6 riot at the Capitol, charged for obstruction of an official proceeding. Two of the four counts against former President Trump and Special Counsel Jack Smith's election subversion cases are also related to the same questions. And Gorsuch, an appointee of Trump, asked a range of questions. I'd like you just to hear some of that interaction that took place at this Supreme Court hearing.
If I might. So what does that mean for the breadth of this statute? Would a sit-in that disrupts a trial or access to a federal courthouse qualify? Would a heckler in today's audience qualify or at the State of the Union address? Would pulling a fire alarm before a vote qualify for 20 years in federal prison?
There are multiple elements of the statute that I think might not be satisfied by those hypotheticals, and it relates to the point I was going to make to the Chief Justice about the breadth of this statute. The kind of built-in limitations are the things that I think would potentially suggest that many of those things wouldn't be something the government could charge or prove as 1512C2 beyond a reasonable doubt, would include the fact that the actus reus does require obstruction, which we understand to be a meaningful interference. So that means that if you have some minor disruption or delay or some minimal outburst,
okay,
don't think it falls
so
within the
my outbursts
to begin with
require the court to reconvene after the proceeding has been brought back into line, or the pulling of the fire alarm, the vote has to be rescheduled, or the protest outside of a courthouse makes it inaccessible for a period of time. Are those all federal felonies subject to 20 years in prison?
So with some of them, it would be necessary to show nexus. So with respect to the protests outside
assume,
the courthouse,
I can,
we have to show,
I think,
yes, they were aiming
I've shown,
at the proceeding.
Yeah, they were trying to stop the proceeding.
Yes, and then we'd also have to be able to prove that they acted corruptly, and this sets a stringent mens rea. It's not even just the mere intent to obstruct. We have to show that also, but we have to show that they had corrupt intent in acting in that way.
We and went around that tree yesterday.
I know. I heard the argument yesterday, but I guess what I would say is that to the extent that your hypotheticals are pressing on the idea of a peaceful protest, even one that's quite disruptive, it's not clear to me that the government would be able to show that each of
so
those protesters had corrupt
intent. So mostly peaceful protest that actually obstructs and impedes an official proceeding for an indefinite period would not be covered?
Not necessarily. We would just have to have the evidence of intent. And that's a
high bar. They intend to do it all right.
Yeah, intend to do it all right. Wow. Quite an interesting hearing yesterday, and don't know when the Supreme Court's going to release their decision on this matter, but going to have great implications upon those who have been prosecuted for January 6th. The Hill is reporting a full jury now has been selected in former President Trump's hush money case, setting the stage for opening remarks to begin this Monday after nearly 200 prospective jurors were screened by the judge. Trump's lawyers and Manhattan prosecutors, a total of 12 jurors and six alternates have been selected. We also find that as jury selection was just before it began, former President Trump spoke to the press as he was going, there at the courthouse.
So thank you very much. We had some amazing things happen today. As you know, my son has graduated from high school, and it looks like the judge will not let me go through the graduation of my son, who's worked very, very hard. He's a great student. I'm very proud of the fact that he did so well. And I was looking forward for years to have graduation with his mother and father there. It looks like the judge isn't going to allow me to escape this scam. It's a scam trial. If you read all of the legal pundits, all of the legal scholars today, there's not one that I see that said this is a case that should be brought or tried. It's a scam. It's a political witch hunt. It continues, and it continues forever. And we're not going to be given a fair trial. It's a very, very sad thing. In addition, as you know, next Thursday, we're before the United States Supreme Court in a very big hearing on immunity. And this is something that we've been waiting for a long time. And the judge, of course, is not going to allow us. He's a very conflicted judge. And he's not going to allow us to go to that. He won't allow me to leave here for a half a day, go to D.C. and go before the United States Supreme Court because he thinks he's superior, I guess, to the Supreme Court. We got a real problem with this judge. We got a real problem with a lot of things having to do with this trial, including the DA, because you go right outside and people are being mugged and killed all day long, and he's sitting here all day with about 10 or 12 prosecutors over nothing. Over nothing. Over what people say, over what people say shouldn't be a trial. So I just want to thank you very much, but that I can't go to my son's graduation, or that I can't go to the United States Supreme Court, that I'm not in Georgia or Florida or North Carolina campaigning like I should be, it's perfect for the radical left Democrats. That's exactly what they want. This is about election interference. That's all it's about. Thank you very much.
President Trump speaking here earlier this week as the jury selection was getting underway. By the way, reported just a short while ago here before Crosstalk, and that is an unidentified man outside of the Manhattan Criminal Court building appeared to have poured gasoline on himself and set himself on fire alongside onlookers and pedestrians. We don't know the final results of that. Friends, this next story is extremely, extremely tragic. From LifeNews.com, it was another record year for the abortion giant Planned Parenthood, killing more babies in abortions than ever before. Planned Parenthood published its annual report. The new report shows the abortion business killed 392,715 babies in abortions in the last year, a 5% increase from the 2021-2022 figures. That's over 1,075 babies killed in abortions every single day of the year. 44 dead babies every single hour. Can you grasp what is taking place? Now, there are other abortionists in addition to Planned Parenthood, but this is Planned Parenthood alone. Nearly 44 babies are being killed this very hour that Crosstalk is airing. Life News also is reporting that thanks to President Biden, the Planned Parenthood abortion business raked in $699.3 million from you, the taxpayers. That figure itself, an $81 million increase in revenue from when Biden took over the White House. Life News also reporting in December of 22, Congress passed the Pregnant Workers Fairness Act, a pro-life bill that aimed to make the workplace more accessible to pregnant women. The bill was implemented at the end of June of 2023. However, the Biden administration is now manipulating the bill's language to require that employers provide accommodation for abortion. You see, the legislation required employers to provide reasonable accommodations to a worker's known limitations related to pregnancy, childbirth, or related medical conditions, unless the accommodation would cause the employer an undue hardship. Well, the EEOC has now interpreting and saying that abortion should be in the definition of related medical conditions. That would now then essentially require employers to provide medical leave for women to go and kill their baby. It's clear that the intent of Congress in passing this was to help pregnant mothers have healthy pregnancies and babies, not to expand access to individuals who want to take the life of their baby. The Daily Signal reported Health and Human Services Secretary Javier Becerra refused on Tuesday to condemn or even distance himself from abortions of unborn babies who are ready to be delivered. This was a Capitol Hill hearing on Tuesday, and repeatedly told Senator John Kennedy that he supports the abortion limitations that were encompassed in Roe v. Wade, that's now overturned. When asked if he supports aborting babies up until the moment of birth, well, that conversation went just a little different direction.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary, for being here. Secretary, if the mother is healthy and the baby is healthy, do you really support abortion of the baby up to the moment of birth?
Senator, let me make sure. To the moment of birth, you're saying after gestation, the 40 weeks.
You know what I'm saying, Mr. Secretary. Let's suppose it's the day before the due date, and the baby is fully formed, and the baby's healthy, the mother is healthy. Do you support aborting the right to abort the baby then?
I've heard no one say that. I think everyone has said who support reproductive rights have said support
said
Roe versus Wade.
You said it. In 2020, in a press release, this is what you said. You said, quote, no government, state or federal, has the right to make decisions for a woman about her body or her health care, end quote. Your words, not mine.
Good words.
So let me ask you again. Up to the moment of birth, if the mother's healthy and the baby's healthy, do you believe that there should be the right to abort that baby? Up to the moment of birth.
I'll give you the answer. I have always supported Roe v. Wade, which does not do what you've just said. And I know of no one who is proposing or advocating what you've just announced. And I would hope that what you would recognize is that should not stop a woman from having the right to decide for herself with the consultation of her physician what she should do.
Would you support
me? You know, it goes on and on and on, and he continues to say, well, that wasn't allowed under Roe. Well, friends, it did happen under Roe. It did happen under Roe v. Wade. Babies' lives taken up to the moment of birth. And even those who had been born, then even as the governor of New York had said, well, where was it, the governor of Virginia, we need to leave that up to the mother and her doctor. The Health and Human Services Secretary would not condemn abortion at all. We see also matters that are taking place in this matter. Even Senator, this is troubling out of Florida, the former Senate, Florida Governor and current U.S. Senator Rick Scott suggested Monday he's no longer standing by the Florida law banning abortion on babies with detectable heartbeats, instead determining a 15-week cutoff point is where the state is at. You know, and said promoting this, he no longer stands where he once did. And we see the backpedaling taking place by Republicans on this matter. Abortion is taking the innocent life of a baby, friends. We'll be back in 1 minute. By the way, if you'd like to comment on these news stories, our number 800-733-9829. We'll be right back.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Well, sadly, my friends, we have seen Israel attacked yet again. This time, a direct attack, but not just from Iran. Many are reporting that Iran attacked Israel. True, but it was really more than that. It was the Islamic Revolutionary Guard. And the rockets and the drones were coming in from not just Iran, but also from Yemen, from Iraq, from Syria, and from Lebanon. So let's spread the word, folks. This was not just an attack by Iran. It was an attack by an Islamic bloc of nations. Interestingly enough, it's now being admitted by Saudi Arabia themselves that they stepped in to help defend Israel. The Bible speaks of these kind of scenarios playing out. Is the stage being set for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled? I believe it is. But sadly, with all this going on, the rise of anti-Semitism is also increasing, which the Bible predicted.
Friends, if you want to comment on these or other current event stories, the number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. By the way, LifeNews.com reporting the Arizona legislature has defeated a measure that would repeal the state's abortion ban that protects women and unborn babies. On Wednesday, following two attempts, lawmakers defeated the measure. And a quote from the House Speaker Ben Thomas said, the last thing we should be doing today is rushing a bill through the legislative process to repeal a law that has been enacted and affirmed by the legislature several times. The Center for Arizona Policy is celebrating the vote, but friends, there's going to be further attempts to just totally rip apart the law protecting preborn babies in the womb in the state of Arizona. Let's go to the phone lines here today on Crosstalk. Again, the number 800-733-9829. We have Eric's our first caller here from West Bend. You're on the air.
Hi, yeah, thanks for taking my call. And comment on the abortion rule, I'm totally against abortion, so don't get me wrong on that part. But if they don't at least go along with like a 15 or 16-week limit on abortion, they're going to lose the Senate, they're going to lose everything, and the Democrats will have control of everything, because last fall, or a year ago fall, when we lost the Senate, the most people, from what they interviewed, said the main reason they voted, they didn't care about the economy, about the southern border, gas prices, inflation. All they cared about is abortion. They just want to be able to kill their babies.
So, Eric, the vast majority of abortions, the vast majority of babies are killed before the 14th week of pregnancy. The highest percentage is taking care of that. So what you're saying is that we should allow that in order for Republicans to gain control?
Well, as sad as that is, our country's so messed up. But if they don't go along with it, then the Democrats are going to have control of everything. The Democrats are going to push with their all of the elections coming up, abortion.
Okay, so we should take it out on the preborn, right? That's what you're saying. We should just take it out on the preborn. If we can kill more preborn children, it's a better chance for us to win the election for those who would hold to the Republican mindset?
Well, it's sad, but the liberals will control everything if they don't at least give a little bit. And I disagree with abortion. It's wrong. But if you want to have any chance of any conservative opinions and voting and rights going on, they're going to have to give a little bit, or else the Democrats are going to have control of everything. It's sad.
Okay.
It's ridiculous.
Okay, so to have a conservative voice in things, a conservative voice would say that it's okay to kill a baby prior to 14 or 15 weeks.
It's not okay, but they will have no voice if they don't give some.
Okay. Thank you. I'm going to move on to other callers for interest of time, but think of the babies that have no voice either. Amy in Heartland, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. Well, I agree with your previous caller. Abortion is wrong and terrible. It is murder.
But
what I want to know is, hello, are you there?
Yes, you're on the air. You're saying that you believe abortion is murder, but...
Yes, thank you. Not but. I want to know, where are the Christians talking about abstinence? Where is the conversation about raising our young women to abstain from sex until they're married?
Mm-hmm.
Where are the parents raising their young sons to abstain from sex until they're married? And if we were raising our children under God's laws, this abortion issue, I think, would be much less of an issue than what it is today. I don't see anybody. That's not true. I do know some who are talking about it, but it's, you just don't hear about it anywhere in the news or even on your station or Christian radio stations. Why aren't we teaching? Why are we not more talking about abstinence? If young girls would stop having sex in college, they wouldn't be getting pregnant.
Yep, that's so true, Amy, and that has long been a topic on programs like Crosstalk and through the Bible teaching programs that we have here on VCY, indeed. And it begins in the home with mom and dad. When's the last time mom and dad have had such a conversation? When is the church taking a stand on this issue? But thank you. You've raised a good point, Amy.
Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Joseph in Bellevue, Michigan, you're on the air.
Hi, Brother Jim. I really like the direction, how you bring it back that the only thing that's going to fix what's going wrong in this country is Jesus. But we need to forget about the Republicans as being any bastion of righteousness or goodness or truth. I really think in the pro-life circle, we have been waiting and waiting for Roe v. Wade to go away, and then we weren't really ready for it when it happened. But we need to hold the line and stop worrying about, oh, are you going to be okay with penalizing a woman for murdering her child? Genesis chapter 8 says, he that sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. And that is the role of the government. If a mother murders her child, she is worthy of death.
And it's the government, certainly it's God who has raised up civil government to measure out depends penalties in that regard. But let me just say this, the Genesis 9 verse 6, where by capital punishment is laid out in that verse. Thank you, Joseph. We're just about out of time. I've got to get a couple more calls in. Geneva, Ohio, George, you're on the air.
Yeah, Jim, we got to stop using the word abortion in this case. No, it's not abortion, it's murder. Let's get it straight. We're confusing people. There's a natural type of, abortion.
Yeah.
But that's, the natural realm. We're talking about killing.
Yeah, we are.
Murdering babies.
Yep, yep. And wasn't the commandment say, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not do murder? Thank you. And Claire in Wilmington, Delaware, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm calling with something that's going to seem like an impossibility, but I'm very serious in what I'm saying. The Republicans are not representing anyone any more than the Democrats are. And I have to believe there are Democrats that feel this is just as disenfranchised as I feel as a former Republican. This abortion issue is the slavery issue of our day. I think it is horrific. And I believe it's time, and I would like to start a political party called the Faith and Freedom Party and invite those sides. And I don't care if we leave forever and ever until I feel like a progressive. If it takes us 100 years to get to our side being heard and gathering people to our side, then that's what it has to take.
I'm out of time. Thank you for your call, friends. Thanks for joining us on Crosstalk, being a Bible-believing church this weekend. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.